puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. There's the tune. Now's the time for some abandoned Manitoba with our rock star historian, Gordon Goldsboro. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Lori.
Okay, last week, let us cast our minds back to when we were talking about ponds, cement ponds.
Right, and the lakes that are at Fort White Alive that used to be quarries for the excavation of clay.
And then you said that this week we were going to stay with that theme a bit, with a pool.
A concrete pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what I'm referring to is a grain elevator at a railway siding in western Manitoba, a railway siding called Quadra. And it's about 60 miles by road northwest of Brandon. If you don't know quite where this is, it's communities in the vicinity are things like Hamiota and Crandall. They're east of here. Arrow River and Miniota are west. And you might be thinking then, how does this fulfill the hint?
You see the question in my eyes, yes.
Right. Well, it was a bit of, I guess, misdirection on my part. I said a concrete pool. Well, it was a concrete grain elevator that was constructed by the grain company Manitoba Pool.
Oh.
Concrete pool.
Oh, tricky, Gordon. Very tricky.
People will maybe remember that almost a year ago, we spoke in this series about an abandoned grain elevator at the village of Elva in southwestern Manitoba. It was built back in 1897, and it's believed to be the oldest surviving grain elevator in all of Canada. It has the very characteristic shape that people often think of when they think of grain elevators. And I think more importantly, in the context of our discussion today, the one at Elva is made entirely out of wood. And what that means then is that it's vulnerable to the effects of pests and fire and vandals and rot. And of course, the grain companies that operated these elevators were fully aware of that. In fact, every year almost there was an elevator that would burn down just because of its sensitivity to fire. So the company, of course, we're always worried about that and, you know, trying to find solutions. And so the idea of building a grain elevator out of something that wasn't flammable seemed like a pretty darn good idea.
Yeah.
And this elevator is, I think, one of the beginning ones of that trend.
Okay. And so was this just something new that they were trying? Or?
It was. In fact, Quadra was an experiment. In fact, if you look at some of the interviews from back then, the executives of Manitoba Pool refer consistently to this elevator as an experiment. And I guess the idea was that if it didn't work, they would just say, well, it was experience,
yeah, we
and we'll chalk it up to that.
Yeah.
But they wanted an elevator that was durable, but also that was capable of handling increasing grain volumes, because this was the age of now of increasing globalization. They needed to compete at a more tough level. The fact that the crow rate for the transporting of grain had been removed. This affected all kinds of things in the grain industry. And so they were looking at bigger and bigger and bigger elevators. So this was the beginning of that trend. So the construction at Quadra began in late 1978. And because it was going to be this big, heavy structure made out of concrete, they realized they had to do something special to support it. So the first thing they did is they drove long concrete piles down deep into the ground so that the elevator could sit on this bed of concrete, so that the idea was that it wouldn't shift. Then they started bringing precast chunks of concrete. This is interesting because we'll talk a little later about the more recent elevators they've built out of concrete that are not made this way. This early one was made with precast pieces that were simply trucked to the location. They were bolted together with steel.
Like prefab.
Basically prefab, yeah. And it made these hexagon shapes, six-sided bins, 15 of them all together. And altogether, when it was done, it could hold 170,000 bushels, so almost twice as much as its predecessor in Swan River. Now, they did have a few problems apparently that occurred during construction, so they didn't actually have it finished until the fall of 1980. It was almost 2 years in the making, and the cost apparently was about $2 million for this. And compare that to about $800,000 for the cost of an equivalent-sized wooden one.
Ooh.
Clearly, they spent an awful lot of money on this
thing. That's quite the experiment so far.
Well, yeah, but they had high hopes for this thing. It had the latest and greatest of technology. So, for example, one of the things that defines an elevator is something called the leg. The leg is the conveyor belt, basically, that conveys the grain from where the farmer delivers it at the base of the elevator up to the top and then distributes it into one of the various bins to store it. This one had two legs. Most grain elevators have a single leg. This one had two of them. It had a large, what they called a drive shed. That's where the truck from the farm would come in with the grain. The older elevators had a small drive shed, and so just little trucks could go in there. This one had an enormous drive shed, so the great big semis, and of course we see more and more today.
Yeah.
Farmers use big semis to haul their grain. This one was built for those. Most of the equipment inside the elevator was automated so that they didn't require an awful lot of workers there, and most significantly, had a very distinctive look. And today, if you go by some elevators, you'll be familiar with this look. Basically, they had a network of pipes on the top. Those were the ones that delivered the grain to the various bins. And in previous elevators, those were concealed in the elevator itself. In this new one, they were out and exposed to the world. So you'd see on the top of this elevator all these pipes kind of going all over the place. And of course, that today is the standard. That all elevators pretty much now have that.
Well, that's what's going on there.
Those were pipes to deliver the grain. And this was one of the very first that had this. So it was really revolutionary, very innovative for its time. In fact, when it opened, when they had the opening ceremony for it, they had people from all over Canada attending because it was just seen as so new and so innovative that they all wanted to see it.
And yet?
Well, unfortunately, it ran for about 22 years as far as I can determine. It opened in 1980. Mm-hmm. It closed, I think, either in 2002 or 2003. I haven't been able to determine exactly. It only operated for 22 years. I've heard various rumors about why it closed. Some people have said, oh, there were some structural problems that doomed it. I've had a look at it, and I don't see anything obvious from the outside. Of course, sometimes structural problems aren't visible from the outside, but I can't see any cracks, for example, in the concrete. So I'm not so inclined to think that's the case. I think might have doomed it were market forces, because it wasn't the only grain elevator in that area. There was, in fact, another one of these very high-capacity, high-tech elevators that was built around the same time by a competing company at Oakner, just about 12 miles to the east. And I think, therefore, there was a bit of competition, and I don't think the one at Quadra really met its full potential. It didn't get as much grain as they had hoped to do. And so perhaps that's what ultimately doomed it. But mm-hmm. Say it closed and they sold it to a local farmer. A fellow from Hamiota, I'm told, now owns it. And he uses it just to store his own local grain in the fall when he's harvesting his crops.
Well, and it was quite the grand structure. If you go now, is it still looking good? Or?
Well, you go by from a distance, it doesn't look too bad. In fact, it still has that characteristic look of the concrete with the pipes on top. But if you look a little closer, you see that it is looking a little bit shabby. So, for example, it has clover about up to your waist or that basically conceal the railway tracks. Huh. The pipes on top look a little bit rusty. So I think I guess the term you might use is deferred maintenance has been going on for a little while.
Yeah, that's a good term. So is this experiment a total failure? Is there some kind of legacy or?
Well, of course, it wasn't a failure at all, really. I mean, it did demonstrate that this was a concept that would work. It may not just didn't work in this particular place. It may have not worked in this particular configuration. But they did realize that concrete was the way to go. It was strong. It was durable. Of course, it didn't burn. And so I think today, most grain elevators are built either with concrete or with steel. So this one at Quadra was really a sort of a trend-setting elevator. But they did build more. Poole, for example, Manitoba Poole did build other ones, but they used a very different process. So, for example, my family farmed in the Starbuck area, and back in the late 1990s, they replaced the old wooden elevators at Starbuck with a brand new state-of-the-art elevator that was made using what they called the slip form process. And the idea was that the forms would basically rise as the elevator was poured. They poured the concrete on the site. They would build the forms, pour the concrete, and as the concrete was setting, before it was hardened, they would raise the forms a little bit, pour more concrete in, raise them up a little more.
Oh.
And it was supposed to be one continuous pour right from bottom to top, and therefore the concrete would be very strong because it was just all homogeneous. So most of the elevators, I think, today are made with some variation of this process. So they say the one at Quadra really did set the trend. And say it's not technically abandoned, but it isn't used to nearly the extent that I think they envisioned when it was first built back in 1980.
Another good story. Thanks very much. And oh, wait, before you go. What's the hint for next week?
Well, back in January, quite a long time ago, I talked about the abandoned fur trade post of Fort Ellis in western Manitoba near the present-day St. Lazare. Next week, I'm going to look at the now-abandoned route, the route by which trade goods and people got to Fort Ellis.
Looking forward to it. Thanks very much.
You're welcome, Lori.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba.